Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection, and welcome to another summer edition of Arts Connection, where we look at the intersection of faith, arts, and Canadian culture. Today, we're going to listen to segments of interviews taken from this year's programs, and first up is Elma Schemenauer, the author of Consider the Sunflowers. But first, let's listen to Turn It Around from the Pilgrimage CD by Steve Bell.
We've been heading down this road for a season, looking ever for a shining horizon. Have we forgotten about a reason for leaving? Better turn it around. I was navigating maps and the weather. Thought we were heading for the house of your father. But I think we've gotten lost altogether. Better turn it around. Started from. Find that holy ground, back where we began, in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. I couldn't bear it if you left me behind you. I just want to see the signals that guide you. Let's go back, we can begin where I found you. Better turn it around. Turn this boat around. Take us back to where we started from.
Interview with Elma Schemenauer. Now, what led you down the path to becoming an author?
Well, I think I always wanted to be an author. I remember in grade 8, I wrote on one of my notebooks, "Be an author." It was such a callow thing to say, but that's what I always wanted to be. But it wasn't that easy to figure out how to get there.
Well, looking at that, what kind of things happened along the way to get you to the point where you were writing and were an author?
Well, I became a teacher first because, you know, it was a practical thing to do. It was something I knew about. And I grew up in rural Saskatchewan, so I didn't know any authors and I didn't know how to be an author. So I thought, well, you know, I have to make a living. So I became a teacher. So I taught for a while. And then I sort of thought, if I'm ever going to be an author, I have to kind of make a break for it. So I did a very daring thing. I moved to Toronto because I understood that was where publishing happened in Canada. So I moved to Toronto and tried to get myself hired by a publishing house, which wasn't too easy. But eventually I did get hired by an educational publishing house. And this is not the usual track, though, that most people take when they become authors. But it was the way I did it. I got into that and then gradually worked myself up from that.
Looking at that, as you were an author, and I find that, you know, most authors are readers, have been influenced by others that have come along. Who were some of the people who influenced you early as a writer?
Early on, I had a good Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Miller. I'll never forget her. And, you know, we went through that, those stories of the Israelites in the Old Testament. She just made those stories come alive. So I think she influenced me quite a bit that way. And I had a very good English teacher in high school, too. And, excuse me, she really encouraged me, and that helped a lot, I think.
Well, who are some of the people that influence you now? Who are some of the writers that you turn to now as you're looking at doing your own works?
Well, I have a Mennonite background, which comes through in my writing in some cases, at least in my novel, Consider the Sunflowers. That's one of the major influences on that. So I look to Mennonite authors with a Mennonite background. Rudy Weeb, I enjoy reading his books. And Sandra Birdsell, and I don't know how close she is anymore to her Mennonite experience, but it's there, I know, and it comes through, especially her book, Children of the Day. I got a lot of inspiration out of that. Although my writing comes through more Christian friendly, if you know what I mean. There's more Christian content and more Christian commitment in my writing than in some of the authors that I'm influenced by.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at that, and I mean, you've had a number of books that are written. How many books have you had published?
Well, I've had 75, but it's a little bit of a deceptive number because some of them are very, very short. They're for children, and they're in series. For example, I've written about, I guess, 13 books about different countries of the world. And with the publisher, we worked out how to write these books, like what would we have at the beginning about where is the country and what are its neighboring countries and that kind of thing. What do the people do for a living? What is their faith? And that kind of thing. So we worked it out first with the book on Canada, and then we did it with the other books. And once you've worked it out once in a series, especially this publishing company wanted them all to be following the same path. So it isn't as hard as starting a book from scratch, if you know what I mean. You know, once you've written Canada, well, then you can go to Russia, do Russia following the same pattern. Guatemala, the same pattern. Of course, the content is different.
Well, looking at that and the fact that you've written children's books, you've written nonfiction, now you've written an adult novel, you've done all of these genres, is there any one genre that you prefer to work with?
Well, I think it has changed. In the past, I was probably more interested in writing for children, and I'm glad that I had that opportunity. Now I'm really concentrating on writing novels, and I've have this one published, which is delightful to me. I'm just so thrilled. But that's what I'm concentrating on now. I want to do another. I'm writing another novel, and that's what my main interest is right now.
Well, having done this and having, you know, sort of written over the, you know, a number of years, and I'm not going to ask you how long it's been, but I know that we've known each other through Write Canada for a number of years. What keeps you writing? What drives you and motivates you to stay doing what you're doing?
Well, my theory is that God gives gifts to different people, and I don't think that's a very unique theory. But I think he's sort of made me to write. I think that's probably the gift that he's given me. There's an awful lot of other things that I can't do that I wish I was more talented in, but I think that's the gift that I have, and I feel God's pleasure more when I'm doing it than possibly when I'm doing anything else, because I think that's what I was meant to do, if that makes sense.
That makes sense, and I've often talked to other writers, and they say there's an element that of they can't not write. You know, if they had to have a point where they had to take a break from writing for whatever reason, there was always that impulse within them that said, I need to write. I need to be able to get back and do what I've been created to do.
Yes, that's right. And when I remember once when I was very busy and we had a lot of company and so forth, and I wasn't able to write, and I get restless when I'm not able to write. But even if I write a report, you know, somebody wants a factual report on some organization or whatever, even that is sufficient to feed that need that I seem to have. It doesn't seem to matter to me an awful lot what I write, but I just seem to need to write, you know.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we return to the special summer edition of Arts Connection, we're going to listen to an interview with another writer, Irish Beth Maddock. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
Stranger, while traveling through this world of woe, yet there's no sickness, toil, nor danger in that bright land to which I go. I'm going there to see my father. I'm going there. I'm only going over home.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Poor Wayfaring Stranger from Steve Bell's Pilgrimage CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to listen to an interview with author Irish Beth Maddock. Now, let's let our listeners get to know a little bit about you, get to know you a little better. When did you start writing?
I've been writing since I was a kid. I remember my grade 5 teacher asking me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I told her I wanted to write.
Well, when you were writing, when you were starting at that level, what type of things were you writing?
Mostly short stories, some poetry, sometimes songs, sometimes as I got into high school, got more into playwriting. All sorts of different creative ideas, some attempts at kids' books as well at that time.
So who were some of the influences as you were going along? Who are the writers that you liked to read at that point in time?
Oh, I was very much into C.S. Lewis, the Narnia series, David Eddings, a lot of fantasy writers at that time. I wasn't a Christian growing up at that time, so I didn't know about a lot of the Christian writers. I was surprised to find out later that C.S. Lewis was a Christian. My goodness.
Was there anyone that, you mentioned C.S. Lewis and David Eddings, was there any one writer that you liked to go back to all the time and reread their works?
Well, I definitely would say C.S. Lewis at this time. I'm actually reading the Narnia series to my daughter right now. We're going through that again, which is wonderful.
Now, is there anybody that right now that's an influence on you?
Right now, I've got a wonderful church family in Calgary, and we have an incredible, vibrant artistic community at our church. We do plays every year. There's a lot of drama and a lot of focus on worship arts, and so that is definitely an influence as to what has been inspiring me currently. However, growing up, and I would just say now, looking back, that God was my influence and my inspiration.
I want to shift gears a little bit there, because you talked about your church being an influence and the type of things that they're doing. Have you found, is that an unusual aspect for your church to be doing that much within the arts?
It is. I have been to a lot of different churches, and not very many really support the dramatic arts and trying to promote Jesus and showing who he really is in creative ways. So it isn't common, I would say.
What sort of have you had an influence in how in this happening from your perspective of being an artist?
Have I been an influence to my church?
Yeah, have you had a chance to be involved in that?
Oh, I certainly have. Not as much as I would like. I'm hoping to get involved a little bit more with some future ideas I have around in regards to some plays that I've written. I did write a play about a couple of years ago with another church I had attended, and we used it as a fundraising tool, and it raised $1,000. So I guess that's kind of what spurned the idea that maybe stuff that I'm doing that comes out of my brain at 2 o'clock in the morning could actually be used for God's kingdom.
Now, you've mentioned that you've, over the years, you've written in a number of different genres. You just mentioned the play that you wrote. You've written poetry in the past. You're doing some short stories. Now you've written a children's book. Is there any one genre that you like to work in over the others right now?
Well, currently, writing a children's book, although I've dabbled in it years ago, making another attempt at it again with The Great Carp Escape here, has definitely been a new challenge. It is not easy writing a children's book. I would say that currently this is my focus right now because I have a young one and I've been reading to her a lot. And I wanted to write a story that really spoke to her, that I had a background in. There's a lot of kids' books out there that are quite meaningless in some ways. I was quite surprised, and I thought, you know, I think I could even do a better job than this. With some books out there, others are just incredible. It just depends on what you pick up.
Well, I want to talk a little. I'll talk about The Great Carp Escape in more detail in a couple of minutes. But you mentioned that it's challenging. It's difficult to write a children's book. I think most people look at children's books, and because of the simplicity of the book, are always going, well, that's not that hard to do. You know, how can it be very difficult to write a children's book? What is the key challenge in writing a children's book?
Oh, well, I would say patience. And I understand patience in Latin means to suffer. And most of us artsy people don't like to suffer very much, in my experience. What I found with The Great Carp Escape, God just downloaded this childhood memory I had at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know, Robert, if you get those brilliant ideas in the wee small hours of the morning, but I do. And I actually obeyed. And I wrote the manuscript for The Great Carp Escape within an hour and a half. And it took me 3 years to figure out what God wanted me to do to publish it. So I would say patience has been the strongest challenge, and waiting and waiting to see which door opens now, which door opens now, which door closes now, and where am I supposed to navigate and go through the maze from here.
After this final break, the summer edition of Arts Connection will return with an interview with author Deb Elkink. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection, you've been listening to Think About That from the Pilgrimage CD by Steve Bell. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up this summer edition of Arts Connection with an interview with writer Deb Elkink. Now, it's been a couple of years since we've talked on this program, so maybe give our listeners, especially the new ones, a chance to get to know you a little bit better again. Let's go back to the beginning. I talked about in the intro that you started by sending a letter about John F. Kennedy to your school yearbook. What was going through your mind when you saw that it was being published?
Well, I was nine. That was a long time ago. I was a little tickled. I thought, this is so nice that somebody is going to read this, and they're gonna like it, and they're gonna think maybe Deb, you know, maybe, well, they called me Debbie back then, but please don't call me that now. Maybe Debbie has some insight to something, and we want to know what that is. So I guess I wanted to catch the attention of readers, and I wanted them to say, oh, she can write poetry.
Well, in doing that and going from that sort of inauspicious start to now you've won a couple of awards for your writing, walk us through that journey. How did you get from there to where you are now?
I think at age nine, I had a discussion with myself. I was a little bit older when I had a discussion with my mom, who is an artist, who encouraged me to follow my heart. I said, well, wouldn't it be good if I were a doctor? And she said, oh, follow your heart. What would really be exciting to you? What would be fulfilling to you? She said, if you didn't have to worry about money and you didn't have to worry about education or anything, what would you do? And I said I would like to be a writer, and that was in high school. So I set my cap for that, and I started going after that. I had lots of encouragement through high school by teachers that saw that I loved to write. I loved words. I loved to talk. I loved anything to do with words. Poor teachers need to listen to me talk so much. But I ended up registering for college in Minneapolis, St. Paul area. I went to a Christian college there called Bethel College, and it's now which is now a university. And I started studying mostly like various types of communication, but mostly I was influenced by Elvira Mickle, or Michelson rather, and her husband's name was Berkeley. And Elvira and Berkeley, he was a seminary professor, and they wrote together. They wrote several quite influential books. And I finished at Bethel, but not in the prescribed. I should have been able to do it in 3 years, because I got a year of credit at home, and then went on and studied there. But I got married and stopped out for a little while. It took me several years before I finished all my courses by correspondence after being married and having kids. And about the time I was ready to pitch into writing again and really start selling, which I had started in the first year, a couple of years of college, I'd had a couple of things published, short stories, maybe a dozen short stories and articles and so on. But when the babies came, and I wrote around the bottles, or I actually didn't give them bottles, but I wrote around the diapers and so on, and finally finished my last credits needed for my undergraduate degree. And I was about to pitch in really full-time to writing. We ended up deciding that we would homeschool the kids, and I just didn't have enough energy to do both. All of my creative energy went into homeschooling my kids. Now, meanwhile, by the way, I had married not anybody from Minneapolis, where I had gone to school, not anybody from Winnipeg, where I'd grown up, but somebody from the depths of this great sandhills in Saskatchewan who ranched. So I became a co-owner of a ranch, a cattle ranch, quite a large one. I learned how to fly an airplane to round up cattle, although I didn't actually do the rounding up. I learned how to cook for branding crews of 100, and then I learned to ride a horse and yell at little calves and cows and so on. So I had a lot filling my life at that point. So finally, when my youngest was ready to go to school herself, go to high school, and I decided I would go with her. And I enrolled as well myself in a graduate program for historical theology, and this was at Briarcrest Seminary in Saskatchewan. And I that's when I started, and I used that to kickstart my writing and get me back on track for my plan to write fiction. And in the meantime, I wrote a lot of nonfiction.
Looking at that, I'm going to go back to one thing you said at the beginning, and that was your mother was an artist, and she gave you a lot of encouragement. In terms of that, and I've talked to a lot of artists over the years, and there's varying stories, and some of them have the stories where the parents kind of wanted to discourage them from going into the artistic fields because of, you know, the poor starving artist image that some people have. Others had parents that encouraged them. What difference did it make for you to have parents that encouraged you to follow your heart and follow what you felt was your gifting and your calling as a writer?
They always say, if you're a writer, you write. You just have to write. I don't think that a writer has to write. I think a writer chooses to write just like a doctor chooses to doctor, or a radio personality that sets up a radio station and a radio program. It's not that I don't think that there's something special about the arts. I love the arts, but it's one expression of life, and I don't think that it's more important, or that there are some that are more important than others. The money issue is something that I think writers have to realize, artists have to realize, that they're probably not necessarily, but probably not going to be able to make their living at it. And I was so blessed to have family support. As I got married, my husband and the lifestyle that we lived on the ranch left me with time and the ability and to not have to make, you know, a whole bunch of money. Of course, as any artist, my mom would love to make lots of money. She's an incredibly prolific artist, even to this day. And I would like to make a lot of money. Wouldn't we all? Wouldn't you, Robert? I mean, everybody knows that it's difficult to make make a living at it. Maybe that'll change someday. But I was happy that my mom and dad encouraged me to go into the arts. And I think it's because of my mother's great satisfaction in doing art that she wished that great satisfaction on me as well. And that was a lovely gift that I got from her.
Thank you for listening to the summer edition of Arts Connection today. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.salaministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Salaw Ministries, email Robert at salawministries.ca. Follow us on Twitter at Salaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook, or check out the Arts Connection blog at rdalelesley.wordpress.com. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.